now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
What's gonna happen tonight? What's gonna happen?
We're gonna whoop their
Have you gotten Romo yet?
Welcome into the Go Balls 247 podcast, a breaking news edition. I am Ben McKee and not Wes Rucker for two reasons. A, Wes is too busy arguing with Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield on Twitter at the moment. And B, he's just too busy arguing with Grant and Admiral at the moment. That's all you need to know. But I am joined by Patrick Brown, and it is a breaking news edition because Josh Heupel has secured the bag. He has received a hefty raise, a nice extension. He will be Tennessee's football coach, unless he is fired, I guess, or if he were to take another job. But the new contract extension makes him the head coach through the 2028 season and through January of 2029. He gets an increase of $5 million on his salary, now making $9 million a year, and there's only four coaches in the SEC making more than him, and that is Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, Jimbo Fisher, and Brian Kelly. Patrick, a very well-deserved raise for Josh Heupel.
Yes, Ben, and I think it's telling that we're, what, a little more than 3 weeks out from the Orange Bowl, and Tennessee and Josh Heupel have wrapped this up. You know, he got an extension and a raise after his first season, but that one wasn't fully legally done until the end of July, start of August. So neither side wanting to waste much time getting this done. And you sort of hit on it. The jump from it's pretty crazy to me that when they hired him, and it's, as we're recording this, it's almost 2 years to the day that Josh Heupel was introduced with a salary of $4 million. Now he's at $9 million. And I know that figure is going to blow some people's minds out there. But as I wrote in something I posted on the site on Monday, it was going to take $8 million just to get him in the top half of the league. I mean, the salaries in this conference have skyrocketed, and you know, Heupel was at $5 million last year, and a couple of the guys behind him got raises. Eli Drinkwitz got one, then lost to Kentucky. Shane Beamer got one for going 8-5 and losing the Gator Bowl. So, but those guys went over 6, I think, or 2-6, and Heupel was at 5. So he's going from, you know, one of the lowest paid coaches to now, as you mentioned, I think the fifth highest paid coach in this league. And I think it's warranted, and it's a market correction. I think that the two things that this does, Ben, is this is a reward for the job that he's done, which is, I mean, we could have a whole podcast on where this program was and where it is now, just the night and day difference. And then the other part is the market correction, because you've got a coach who has proven, you know, he's up there with some coaches that have won national titles, that have made playoff appearances, and he didn't get there this season, but I think he certainly has positioned Tennessee to be competing and contending for those things in the future.
Yeah, and to look at some of these coaching salaries around the SEC, as you can imagine, Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, Brian Kelly, Jimbo Fisher, all making more than Josh Heupel. Nick Saban making 11.7 a year, Kirby Smart making 11.25 million a year, although I'll be curious to see if Kirby gets a bump in pay here soon. But both of those guys, Saban and Kirby, are worth $15 million a year. They're only making $11 million a year right now, but I think they could validate paying them $15 a year if those two guys really wanted to go that high. And then Brian Kelly getting paid a big bag of 9.5 at LSU, and Jimbo making 9.5 at A&M because of that national championship that he won at Florida State. And then, funny enough, Lane Kiffin and Josh Heupel are tied for fifth at $9 million a year. And then Mark Stoops right behind them at 8.6. And then it kind of starts to drop off. Billy Napier making $7.2 million, which looks pretty interesting after year one. I don't think you can be out on Billy Napier at the moment, but probably
you can certainly be down on him.
Yes, probably not as far along as I anticipated him being at this point after taking that job at Florida. And then to your point about Shane Beamer and Hugh Freeze, or not Hugh Freeze, but Eli Drinkwitz, Shane Beamer and Hugh Freeze are each making 6.5. Eli Drinkwitz making a clean 6. And then the bottom of the pack, although we don't know Clark Lee's salary at Vanderbilt, but I would imagine it's close to the bottom or at the bottom.
I've seen it at 3.75 is what I've
okay.
Of course, so they're a private university. That's not that. That's you know they don't have to release that stuff.
Right.
I believe that is a Chris Lowe report, if I may cite him.
Right.
That's and, absolutely right. Then in that case.
Yes. So not the lowest paid coach in the SEC, Zach Arnett, who takes over for the late great Mike Leach, is making $3 million. But Sam Pittman only making $5.25 million. I know Arkansas season kind of went up in flames at times. But I'd be surprised if he doesn't get a bump because I don't think he's the 13th or I guess 12th best coach in the SEC when strictly looking at salary. But I thought you really hit the nail on the head in terms of Josh Heupel being at $9 million and being one of the highest paid coaches in the league. A, I think he absolutely deserves it. When you take over what he took over, with the NCAA investigation and how many players were transferring and when he took over the job in late January and just the fact that Tennessee football really had not had a ton of success in the last 10 to 12 years. And then he comes in and he goes 18-8 in his first two seasons. He's won 13 of the last 16 games. He has 7 ranked wins, which is the most of any Tennessee coach in its first 26 games. He just led Tennessee to an 11-win season, which feels like it's been a century since Tennessee last won 11 games. You beat down Clemson in the Orange Bowl. You were in contention to make it to Atlanta. You were in contention to making it to the college football playoffs. You were number one at one point in the college football playoff rankings just in your second season. It is well-deserving from a results standpoint, but also this is the type of money that's being thrown around in college football, right? I mean, I go back to our Memphis Grizzlies and when Mike Conley, what was it? He got the highest paid contract in NBA history.
Supermax, right?
Right. And it wasn't because the Grizzlies thought that Mike Conley was worth the money of the biggest contract in NBA history or whatever the exact term was or whatever record it technically broke. It was something along those lines. It wasn't that they thought that he was necessarily worth that in terms of value. It's the fact that the NBA had that type of money because of TV contracts and all of right. that. And that's what you're seeing in college football now.
And you're, yeah, like you said, I mean, these salaries are just going higher and higher. And this is not just a new thing. I mean, there's different sort of eras where, you know, it sort of spikes and the number of guys making, you know, 20 years ago, the number of guys making $1 million, you could probably count on one hand. Now, you know, a few years later, it's the number of guys making $5 million. Only the elites are. And now, you know, most of this league's making over $6 million. So, and I think, you know, I think that context is important, but I don't think any Tennessee fan is going to complain about how much they're paying Josh Heupel right now. I think he's got this thing rolling pretty good. I know this past season has its what ifs, but it was fun to cover. I can only imagine how fun it was for fans out there to be a part of it that have been through so many ups and downs and probably more downs than ups over the past 15 years. And the way they play is exciting with the offense and you know, the way they play hard. And you know, the recruiting has been better than I think a lot of people expected. I think their class is, I think it was up to 8. I was looking this morning. I don't know what changed that got them ahead of Notre Dame. I don't know if it's some updated rankings.
Was it not the Jaden Rashada situation? Did Florida drop?
Maybe Florida dropped. Yeah, maybe that's what it was.
I know that bumped Tennessee into the top 10 on a different site when they took out Jaden Rashada from Florida's class. I know it bumped Tennessee to in the top 10 on a different site. So I wonder, I don't know where Florida was ranked pre Jaden Rashada. That may be the reason.
Florida is at 13 now. So I'd have to do I'd have to play with the class calculator and do all that, which I'm not going to do right now.
Where's Ryan Callahan?
You know, top 10 class and a lot of these guys are here. I mean, they just announced 28 guys being added to the program on Monday with the start of classes. So that's 20 guys from the recruiting class. A couple of those guys are probably going to be walk-ons, but a lot of the big hitters are here in Knoxville and then some transfers as well. So this is going to be, you know, a sort of a new chunk of the roster, a new third of the roster, but certainly it's easy to get excited about the direction of this program. I think we know through 2 years that, you know, the offense is always going to be among the best in the conference, among the best in the country. Will they go and set a dozen plus records every season? Maybe not. I don't know how many Hendon Hookers and Jalen Hyatts are coming up through the, you know, are still in this program, but you know, the defense, I think, is, you know, they're, we've bagged on them a lot this season, but the bottom line is they improved their scoring average by about a touchdown a game. So, and they're going to get better talent outside of the ball too. And I think they've recruited well, starting in this class, they feel the same way. So, a lot of things to be excited about this program. And, there were a couple other changes. There weren't really any changes to Heupel's buyout. And I know Tennessee fans are all, you know, they love to talk buyouts. They were kind of spoiled in that from some of the previous coaches. I don't think that's anything to worry about right now, with the way Heupel's going, but they did bump his national championship bonus from $500,000 to $1 million. So I don't know if that's probably a put carrot for to Jason, showing the reward of what that would be. But and that I mean, I think that needs to be the baseline for this program moving forward, Ben, is you need to be contending in the East. You need to be going into we play Georgia in November now. They're the standard right now. They've sort of replaced Alabama as a team you got to beat. Tennessee's got to have to, you know, they got to beat Alabama too. And they did. But, you know, you need to go into that November game, whether it be in Athens or Knoxville, still playing for Atlanta. That sort of needs to be maybe the revised standard for this program. And certainly when you're paying a coach like that, fans are going to expect those results. And so that's the question moving forward for Heupel and the staff is what we saw this past season. Is that going to be just a blip? Is that going to be a high watermark, or is that going to be sort of the consistent target moving forward?
Yeah. And I'm cutting you off because you're starting to answer the questions that I have planned for you in my head, but I didn't know
you had questions planned.
They pop up, they pop up as as you begin to record and have conversations. But before we get into one question, before we hit a break, I did want to share what Danny White said in Tennessee's press release, and that was, the results over Josh's first two seasons speak for themselves. He and his staff have energized both our football program and our fan base with an aggressive brand of football, a competitive culture that creates leaders, and a relentless approach to raising the bar every single day. Despite a brief period of dormancy, Tennessee never surrendered its status as a college football powerhouse. We just needed an innovative leader like Josh Heupel to reignite the spark. It's been fun to crash the party, but as Josh said after our Orange Bowl triumph, the best is yet to come. And I think that adequately summarizes why Josh Heupel is getting such a lengthy extension through the rest of this decade, and why he is making so much money. So my question to you, Patrick, is, how comfortable, we'll say on a scale of 1 to 10, how comfortable are you on a scale of 1 to 10 with giving Josh Heupel this much money and this many years added on to the contract? Because it is well deserved. You and I just laid that out. We absolutely agree with this decision because of what the results have been these first two seasons. But it is just two seasons. It is. And we have seen college coaches in the past have their 1 year, their 2 years, and fizzle out. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how comfortable are you with locking up Josh Heupel in this type of way if you're Tennessee?
I'm pretty comfortable with it. I will fittingly say 9 to honor the man's salary, just because I think he deserved it. I think he's shown that he is worth that much money. I mean, he's like 46 and 16 as a head coach, I think, over 5 years. And so, you know, that's, and again, this program, when he took it over, was a mess. It was a disaster. You know, Tennessee's had a lot of rock bottoms. I still think 2017, that whole debacle of a season, when you don't win an SEC game, it's hard to get worse than that. But the situation he stepped into was pretty close to that. I mean, just the investigation, there was all the 2-3 weeks of will there, won't they, with Jeremy Pruitt. You have players leaving left and right, and not, you know, you're losing players to the portal in terms of quality and quantity. And so to have this thing back up and running so fast and to be, and to take the exciting brand that you played your first season, which Tennessee was unwatchable, I think, in 2020, they were much more watchable in 2021. And this past season, they turned entertainment into wins. So I think he's done a better job than some of the guys he was very recently making a lot less money than. I'm good with that. I do think the extension was just 1 year, which I thought was interesting. You know, I was looking at some of these contracts a couple days ago, and a few of these coaches, I mean, Texas A&M signed Jimbo Fisher to not just one, but two 10-year deals. Now, he has a championship on his resume, yes, but, you know, that 2013 is a long time ago.
Well, do you feel better about Josh Heupel's $9 million a year right now? Or
yeah.
Or Jimbo's, what would I say earlier, like 9.5 mil, whatever he is. I think he's 10.6 or something like that. You feel better with Heupel right now than you do Jimbo.
Right, right. But, you know, things can change in a year. Things can change in 2 years. So, I do think that them not giving him, you know, an 8, 9, 10-year deal, just the 1 year rollover, I think keeps some of the buyout figures, you know, realistic if things do go south. I don't think things will go south, but you never know. This is a tough sport. A lot of good coaches in this league. The margin of error and the margin of victory sometimes can be very thin. So, but in terms of just salary, I mean, I think he's shown to be one of the best coaches in this conference. So I think paying him as such is deserved. And so I don't have any issues with it there. And, you know, whether the range was 9 million, whether it was a little bit lower at 7, if, you know, it was going to take 8 just to get him in the top half of the league, like I mentioned earlier. So, it was always going to be a pretty big bump. And this one gets him, I think, reflective of the job that he's done over his first 2 years here.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, you're kind of killing two birds with one stone, right? You're rewarding him for what he has accomplished to this point, and then you're also investing into him and into the program moving forward. And you accomplished both of those things with this move. And I feel very comfortable giving Josh Heupel this type of money. I would be very surprised if he spirals out of control and it's just a complete failure from here on out. I would be very surprised if that happens. And that's because of the culture that he has built and that I think he will maintain. I think there's evidence in the way that he's navigating the transfer portal as to the culture maintaining and remaining what it is, because he could have gone out and gotten this guy or that guy that fans of all schools were coveting on social media, but they didn't want to bring that guy or this guy in because they didn't think that he would necessarily jive with the culture. So he's great X's and O's wise. He can recruit better than people realize at a place like Tennessee. It also recruits itself on top of just needing somebody that's going to be genuine and relate to the kids. And he's got a good coaching staff. Coaches want to work for him. And again, the culture aspect is really what I hang my hat on. So for all of those reasons, I feel comfortable if I'm Tennessee investing into Josh Heupel, because he has the tools to really be a really good college football coach for a very long time. And the question now becomes, how great can he be? And that is a conversation that you and I are going to have after this break. So we'll be back in just a moment after we pay some bills. Money!
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome back into the Go Balls 247 podcast, a breaking news edition. I am Ben McKee, not Wes Rucker, because Wes is too busy arguing with Brent Williams and Admiral Schofield on
Twitter. Tweeting.
Yes, tweeting. Thank you. Tweeting. If you want to know what Wes is doing, wondering what Wes is doing, just go look on his Twitter page and you will know. But Patrick Brown is with me, and we are discussing Josh Heupel's extension and raise. And Patrick, you kind of touched on this earlier, but the final aspect of this is that expectations are going to change now. You've seen it with Rick Barnes. You are going to see it with Tony Vitello, and you will see it with Josh Heupel as well. And even before he was getting paid $9 million, or before this move was made today, expectations were already naturally going to change, right? You have a successful season. People expect you to build on it. People expect you to bring in even more talented players because of the proof that you have that you can develop these players. And at Tennessee, you're supposed to win championships. Like, this season was tremendous. You never take it for granted. But at Tennessee, the goal is to win championships, not Orange Bowls. No offense to the Orange Bowl. I guess the Orange Bowl is in the circle of potential playoff
games. Circle of trust.
Yeah, the circle of trust. The Orange Bowl does serve as one of those playoff games every now and then, I guess. But you want to win championships, and that has always been the goal at Tennessee, and that will always be the expectation and goal at Tennessee. So the question now becomes, how will Josh Heupel achieve those goals? Because now he's getting paid up there with the best coaches in the league, and he's going to be expected to win championships, as he should, because at a place like Tennessee, you have the resources to go win championships and to compete to get to Atlanta every single season. And if you're competing to get to Atlanta every single season, especially now with the expanded playoffs, you're going to be in contention to make the playoffs every year.
Yeah, I think the playoff thing is maybe the bigger situation. I know Tennessee fans want to win SEC championships. I know they want to get back to Atlanta, but let's be honest, that's going to be really hard to do as long as Georgia keeps going at its current pace. That program is looking to be very difficult to beat right now. They just won the national title game 65-7. I know TCU, maybe they shouldn't have been there. Blah blah blah. Blah. Bottom line is they were there. Georgia beat them by 58 points. So that's the world we're living in. And that doesn't even mention that Nick Saban and Alabama are still on your schedule every year. So, but I'll be honest, Ben, you know, I kind of thought Heupel, this is not necessarily a reflection on him as much as, you know, some of the challenges of this program. I thought he was going to be a 8-win-a-year kind of coach. So he's already blown that up. So he's proven that you can go out and win 10 games at Tennessee and not necessarily need a bunch of luck to do it. And so, you know, you just need a little bit of defense and a really good quarterback like Hendon Hooker. You know, as long as Heupel and Joey Halsey are here, they're going to have pretty good quarterback play, I think. And the guy they just brought in is pretty special. I think he's going to be pretty special. And Nico Malayava, let me get his name right. Can I just call him Nico? Is that all right? Yes. Can we just all in the media say we'll just call him Nico? Yes.
At this point, it is A-okay. To call him Nico, but I think it's
thinking of the movie Superbad when he's like, "What are you, Seal?" You're right. Just calling by one.
You're right. So, no, he's definitely going by Nico. Radio hosts around the country and TV broadcasts, most of them will be referring to him as Nico, and that's all you'll see on Twitter. You will not see anybody typing out his name.
right. But I think, you know, that, as I mentioned, this league is going to be tougher. You know, how much longer is Florida going to be down? As we kind of touched on Billy Napier first, I thought his first season was going okay there for a little bit, but then you lose to Vanderbilt, then you lose to Florida State, then you lose your bowl game by 30, then you have this whole Rashada deal. You know, that program looks like it's still a little ways away from being able to compete at the top half of the SEC. But you know, to answer your question about championships, I mean, 10-2 in a couple of years is going to get you to the playoff in the SEC. So is 10-2 without making Atlanta, but getting in the playoff, how is that going to be viewed? There's going to be a section of the fan base that's going to be like, remember what we just went through for the last 15 years. And then there's going to be a section of the fan base that wants more and say, hey, we're paying this guy to win, you know, get over the top, get over the hump that is Georgia, get back to Atlanta, all these things. And so, you know, what do they do as an encore? What do they do in 24 when this class is our sophomores, when they have another recruiting class, and the portal makes things easier to sort of patch some of these holes on your roster? And I think it's helped Tennessee obviously immensely. You know, the staff didn't bring in Hendon Hooker, but Certainly his presence and their development of him has probably been the biggest factor in this turnaround. So, you know, with the portal, it's easier, I would say. It's still competitive, but it's still easier to bring in talent and shore up your roster and bring guys in that can help you win games. So, I think the bar has been raised. Are people going to be upset if Tennessee goes two or three more years without getting to Atlanta? Probably, but in a couple of years, if you're good enough to be competing for Atlanta, you're probably good enough to not only be in the playoffs, but potentially host playoff games. So it's one of those at-large teams. So I think that's sort of changing sort of the landscape, and obviously Texas and Oklahoma are joining the league soon. So it's an interesting time for this program. It's an interesting time for the sport. And but certainly if Tennessee is in contention to go to Atlanta to win the SEC East, or, you know, what's the league going to look like? There's not even going to be an SEC East in a couple of years. So it's going to be sort of a new thing for people to adjust to. But I think as long as Tennessee's putting up a lot of points and winning a lot of games, I think most people around here will be happy and be hoping that a breakthrough season becomes a sort of a breakthrough into Atlanta, maybe a breakthrough of a playoff run, since that's going to be a thing. But we'll just have to see how this program develops, what those things look like down the road.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. But he will reach a point to where he will be dealing with what Rick Barnes is dealing with right now.
Right.
To where people get, as crazy as it sounds, people get tired of the 11-win season and beating Clemson in the Orange Bowl, but you didn't play in Atlanta. You didn't win the SEC East. You did not make the college football playoffs. Now, you do make a great point. If you go 10-2, and you don't make it to Atlanta because there is an all-time great team like a Georgia or like a Florida like we've seen in the past, but you still make the playoffs, then that's a little bit different, because you'd rather win a national championship than the SEC. You'd rather make the playoffs than make the SEC championship game. So that will be an interesting dynamic for sure. But just generally speaking, like, Rick Barnes had his Josh Heupel moment, right? When they broke through, yeah, they lost to Loyola that year. But when they kind of broke through and won the SEC, and I believe that was the year that they lost a close one to Kentucky in the SEC tournament championship game when that was in St. Louis, that was kind of their breakthrough season. And then they also had the next year where they did go to the Sweet 16 and lose to Purdue. They were ranked number one and all this, all that. Everybody, although they may have come up shorter than they should have in the NCAA tournament, everybody was still thrilled and happy because of the regular season success. And now all of a sudden, 16-3, 6-1 in the SEC, number four in the country. The metrics on this team are through the roof. Joe Lunardi has them as a number one overall seed, not overall seed, but a number one seed in the NCAA tournament as of today. And it's like, people are like, oh, okay, we'll see what they do in March. So, and look, Tony Vitello, he's going to reach that point. People forget he hasn't won a game in Omaha yet. He's had a ton of success so far, but still has not won a game in Omaha. And if that trend continues, I'd be surprised if it does. But if it's 2-3 years down the road from now and Tony still hasn't won a game in Omaha, then people are going to begin to get frustrated and have the same feeling towards him that they do about Rick Barnes. So Josh Heupel at some point is going to have to break through. When you have the resources, and look, that's baseball and basketball. Football's the breadwinner on campus, and they had the resources to, without a doubt, go win a national championship or at least compete for one. Not saying that the others don't, but they certainly do above everybody else, and you're getting paid the money that he is. Those same feelings will pop up for Josh Heupel if he's not able to break through as well.
I think the big difference there is basketball and baseball are both tournament sports. Football's not there yet, which is why I'm interested to see if the playoff changes that, where – yeah, if you go 10-2, but if you get hot in the playoffs, I mean, it's sort of like the NFL. But, you know, the NFL has what, 14 teams in? And right now, college football has four. Is that going to change things where, okay, take this season, for example. We should point out that if the SEC didn't have divisions, Tennessee would have been in Atlanta in 2022. They were the second best team in the overall standings. It's not really their fault that, you know, the East is what it is, you know, that they split the divisions. And, before people start claiming, oh, that's a moral victory, whatever. No, that's facts. They were the second best team in the league, but they just didn't go to Atlanta because of the division. So, you know, people are going to remember that South Carolina loss for a long time. But if Tennessee's in that situation again and they have a loss in November, but they're 10-2, knocks them out of Atlanta or some, you know, situation like that where they get knocked out of Atlanta in a couple of years, it's going to be like, well, we're still in position to go to the playoffs. And then it's going to matter what you do then. So it's an interesting discussion and interesting moving, sort of a moving target, because things are going to change and it's going to be different for everybody. You know, the era of the transfer portal and NIL is, you know, people are still, I think, adjusting to all that. And my people, I mean, fans, sort of how to deal with expectations, things like that. So when the expanded playoff, when the expanded SEC comes in, when there's no divisions, all these things are going to sort of change the perception. And, but I mean, if Tennessee has seasons like they had this past season, it's for some people, it's like, if you beat Alabama and Florida every year, that's good enough, right? Tennessee's lost to those teams so many times over the past several years. But I kind of thought Heupel would be an 8-win kind of guy, and he's already proved me wrong there. So I think he's going to be. I think he and his staff have the ability and have the makings of a staff that can get Tennessee more in the 8-10 win range, I think, every season. And some seasons that might be good enough to go to the playoffs. Some seasons it might not be. It's going to be tough to get to Atlanta as long as Kirby Smart is in Athens. That's just the bottom line. It's going to be hard to do that as long as Nick Saban's still around in Alabama. They're not going anywhere. I don't know who their quarterback's going to be next season, but they'll probably still be pretty good. It's tough for Tennessee, but Heupel and his team showed this past season what can be done. And certainly I know a lot of Tennessee fans and certainly those in the program want to see that continue happen on a regular basis and go maybe one or two more. And I think that's going to be a motivating factor for this team this offseason.
Yeah, it will. And again, I do want to emphasize that Patrick and I are not expecting Josh Heupel, now that he's making this much money, to go win a national championship this upcoming season or even the season after that.
Because championship or bust, Ben.
Yeah, that's right. No, we're not saying that at all, because at the end of the day, this team still has some holes and areas that need to be developed to be a true championship team. But I did want to point out that at the end of the day, this is Tennessee football, and let's not forget what Tennessee football ultimately is, just because it did have a stretch of poor play. And then when you add in the fact that you're being compensated fairly well and NIL is where it needs to be, and you have a hefty salary for your coaching staff as well, and you can bring in recruits and this and that, expectations will change over time. But at the end of the day, a really good day for Tennessee football, in my opinion. Josh Heupel gets the money that he deserves, and I fully expect him to take that next step because of those reasons I mentioned earlier with the culture and not only within the players in the locker room, but with his coaching staff as well. And look, you're already seeing the fruits of the labor of this past season on the recruiting trail. Two Saturdays ago, that junior day, and how many five stars and high level four stars that were in, just speaks to what Tennessee was able to do on the football field this past fall. That'll do it for this edition of the Go Vols 247 podcast, a breaking news edition. We will have plenty of coverage all week long of Josh Heupel's extension, but also two big basketball games coming up, one on Wednesday night against Georgia, one on Saturday against Texas. College Game Day is going to be in town a couple of times this week. Another big junior day this weekend, this Saturday as well. So we'll have it all covered for you at GoVols247. And before we get out of here, I do need to remind you, if you don't mind, to take a minute to like, rate, and review the podcast, because that's how you can help us. And we would certainly appreciate it. For Patrick Brown, I'm Ben McKee. Enjoy the rest of your week.
There's that button. And now I can say thank you for listening to this edition of the GoVols 24/7 podcast. We always say that, but we always mean it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening. You can find all of us on social media. I'm Wes Rucker 24/7 on Twitter. Ben McKee is Ben McKee 14 on Twitter. Ryan Callahan is Ryan Callahan 24/7 on Twitter. And Patrick Brown is P Brown 24/7 on Twitter. And if you just want Tennessee news on Twitter, nothing else, you can get that at twitter.com/GoVols247. You can also go to facebook.com/GoVols247, where we update that throughout the day, all day, every day, mostly with Tennessee news, but also with news that we think Vols fans will find interesting. But if you want that best, most delicious East Tennessee Smoky Mountain spring water directly from the source, Go get that at govols247.com, the best site on all of Al Gore's internets for coverage of Tennessee football, football recruiting, basketball, basketball recruiting, Tennessee baseball. Nobody, and I mean nobody, covers Tennessee baseball the way that we do. Also, no one covers the Lady Vols that we do. The award-winning Maria Cornelius does an excellent job covering all things Lady Vols for us all season long. You can get all of that at govols247.com. You've also got access there to two forums that run round the clock. Got the Checkerboard and the Summit, where you can go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and discuss anything you want that is not political or religious in nature with us, with thousands of Tennessee fans across the world, and with us who are on the staff. And no one has a more active board with the staff members than us. We are proud to be there all the time answering any question that you've got, and you get all of that for less than the price of one mediocre lunch per month. That is all that it costs, and that's after a quick free trial. And once you pay us that reasonable rate, which is, again, less than one mediocre lunch per month, you get access in perpetuity to Paramount Plus, which is an excellent growing behemoth of a streaming arm there with us here at CBS, Paramount, Viacom, etc. You get every show CBS has ever made commercial free. You get new movies. You get classic movies that rotate in every single month. You also get just tons of original content, tons of great original Paramount Plus content. And you also get access to the vaults of Nickelodeon, Smithsonian, MTV, BET, Comedy Central, something for the entire family. All of that for less than the price of one mediocre lunch per month. That is so much stuff. So much stuff. That's a bunch of stuff. Less than one lunch a month. That's all that it costs. So go to govols247.com and do that. Take advantage of that. Tell your friends to go do that. Again, thank you for listening. You can always go subscribe to us on every content item, everywhere you can get a podcast. You can get this podcast. So please go do that. Thank you for listening again. And be kind to each other, guys. Just try to be kind to each other. There's just not nearly enough people in this world being kind to each other and having basic human empathy and dignity. Let's be better to each other. Let's be good. See you guys.
Baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.